Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Griggs is asleep. Wake him up. Wait, hold on. I think we could do this. Talika also. Hold on. What do we got here? That
Right,
work? That work? I don't know. Doorbell.
Oh.
We got all kinds of side effects. This is our Championship Week video notebook. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Dorman, David Griggs, John Stalica. It is day number, Stalica.
Number 7.
Wait, it's day 7.
Yeah.
We made it.
We made
Championship
we're
Week is
done.
done. That's it. We're done. I'm out of here. We have a field. Who are the one seeds?
I don't know. We got another week to go in the week, Chad.
Wait, what? That's a week,
Championship week
seven
is
day.
13 days long.
Oh,
You're thinking of a regular calendar week. This is Championship week.
okay. We've got a lot to get to here tonight. We have a lot of news and notes to get through. Then all the conference tournament games we go over. Let's actually start with the news and notes. And beginning in Texas Tech, where head coach Mark Adams has been suspended after reports of him using some inappropriate language. He claims he was quoting a Bible verse, but it was inappropriate what he quoted, and not a good look for Texas Tech, who's had a pretty disappointing season here.
Yeah, I didn't know Mark Adams was a biblical scholar. College bas well, college coaches in college football, and certainly college basketball coaches in particular, know a lot about one particular thing, and that's the sport. They say and do dumb things a lot because I, quite frankly, I just don't think they always know what to say. I'm not going to say that he's a racist or anything. As much as I think it was just a stupid thing to say. And if you're around coaches long enough, you're going to hear them say a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, it does remind me of the Greg McDermott flap about 2 years ago when I think he made a plantation comment and ended up getting suspended for 4 days by Creighton.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Other news here, Salika, on your end with the Xavier guy, Zach Fremantle, done for the year now officially.
This was probably suspected all along, ever since he had the injury or aggravated the injury against Creighton about a month ago. We figured that he could have potentially returned either for the game at Providence or at home against Butler. He still had the walking boot. He, I guess, tried to give it a go in practice, but from all accounts, he's going to have a surgery on Tuesday, so that puts an end to his season. The one saving grace for the Musketeers is they have had about a month to figure out how to play without Fremantle in the lineup, and for better or worse, they've actually become a bit of a better defensive team. Obviously, they're not going to be the same on the offensive end of the ball. It's not going to help in a tournament like the Big East, where you're going to be playing potentially 3 games in 3 days. I don't think it's going to be as severe a flap in the NCAA tournament as other teams that have not been able to adjust on the fly.
Yeah. Today was also the final day of regular season play in our last two conferences, the American and the Big Ten. And the big game in the American, Dorman, was Houston at Memphis, and hell of a game.
Fantastic game. Houston got out to a lead in the first half, was up about 4 or 5 the whole first half. And in the last 5, 6 minutes, Memphis really started to knock down shots. They got some big stops. They took the lead. But Houston hits a shot at the buzzer to end Memphis's dream of knocking off Houston today at home. It was back and forth. Houston play. It wasn't that Houston played bad. I really don't think they played bad. I thought Memphis looked really good and at home, and they had the crowd behind them. They hit some big shots when they needed to, and but at the end, they fell short.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
and next
hopefully.
Sunday, yeah, a week from the day, we might be doing it again.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's what I was about to say. We may have a shot for the ver one of the very last games of the conference tournament play as a championship game in the American on Sunday afternoon. It was also the end of the regular season in the Big Ten. I'm just going to go right to the screen share here and pull up those scores because they were all pretty important scores today, with Purdue, a nice win over Illinois. Indiana, big come from behind win in overtime over Michigan. Northwestern wins at Rutgers. Penn State keeps their season alive with their tournament hopes alive with a home win over Maryland on a buzzer beater incredible game. Another buzzer beater. Iowa loses at home to Nebraska. Wisconsin wins at Minnesota. Slika, thoughts on any of these six games from today?
Well, let's not beat around the bush right here. The score between Northwestern and Rutgers was not what was memorable. It was what happened at the under four timeout when a speaker apparently caught fire at the JMA. It looked like it was going to be serious for a moment, but thankfully nobody had to be evacuated. They were actually able to complete the game with a minimal delay.
Yeah, but with the loss this loss here, Rutgers, they'll be playing in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. They will get Michigan. Here's that Big Ten tournament bracket. In fact, they get Michigan in the 8-9 game. Illinois, Penn State in the 7-10 game. Griggs, these are a pair of huge bubble games, both teams in the Michigan-Rutgers game, Penn State in their game.
Yeah, it really is. I think Rutgers is a lot safer than Penn State. In fact, I think Penn State needs to win a couple games to play their way in. The other team I kind of want to address is Maryland, who finished the season the day without getting it. Right now, their only road wins are Louisville and Minnesota. I'm not quite sure either of those should count. I think they're both a combined total of 10-24 at home, if I'm not mistaken. Their entire profile consists of three impressive wins. They won the neutral floor game at Miami. That is legitimate, or the neutral floor game against Miami. That's legitimately good. Other than that, they only won two home games against teams that had winning road records, and that was Northwestern. And I forget the other one. Was it Purdue? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know. That's probably enough to get them in. I think the real committee will take them. But this, in my opinion, is a very, very underwhelming profile. I think Maryland is one of the most overvalued teams in the country. I just don't understand why people think this team is any good.
You didn't see that Purdue game then, obviously.
I saw it.
Let me ask you here. You just said that you think Rutgers is more safe than Penn State. I don't think I don't really agree with you, Dorman. You look at these two profiles now. They're fairly even, honestly.
It's real tight. I mean, real tight. Both would feel a lot better if they win their first game. Rutgers gets Michigan. I think Michigan is out with the loss. And Penn State might need a couple of wins, really, to feel comfortable and not have to sweat all weekend long until the committee comes out Sunday night. I think they're in, but they should do themselves a favor and knock off Michigan. The other thing that was interesting tonight during the telecast, and they said if Northwestern, who ended up winning and got the 2 seed, if they lost, they got the 9 seed. I had to go check the standings, and Stephen Bardo was correct. They were going all the way down to the 9 seed if they lost this game, which is an incredible slide or jump in this case. And it got them the double bye, a huge win for Northwestern tonight.
Yeah, look how close those teams are, two games separating second and 10th place in the conference. So it really was crazy. Let's go to the conference tournaments though. The play that happened, and let's start with the championship games. And Mr. Griggs, let's begin with the A-Sun tournament title game, and congratulations to the Owls. I didn't believe in them last night, but what a game.
It's been a hell of a season, and when you look at the path that Kennesaw has been on, it really I want to, for under the radar purposes, I really like this format where it's at campus sites on home court advantages that are earned. I think that not only does that make the tournament more exciting, and not only does it protect teams that earn the home court advantage, it makes the regular season more exciting. Like how we were dialed into this really for the entire second half of conference play every week. What's Liberty doing? What's Kennesaw doing? And when they faced each other, you knew that there was a lot on the line. If Kennesaw doesn't win that regular season game in today's games at Liberty, is the result different? But in addition to that, this was just one of the better college basketball games and atmospheres of the entire year. When you consider what was at stake, the storyline of Kennesaw only winning, was it one game just 4 years ago, or one D1 game, or whatever it was, a massive turnaround here. And I this is one we were all looking forward to, and it lived up. It was close all throughout. And if there was one place that I could have been today, had I been given the chance, it would have been in this arena at this game. It was incredible.
And it was Terrell Burton who got fouled at pretty much the last play of the game, made the free throw for the win for Kennesaw. I think really came down to Kennesaw's defense. Darius McGee, who for Liberty is one of the great 3-point shooters in history in college basketball, 0 for 11 from 3. That was he makes one of those, Liberty wins the game, just one. So that's what it came down to. But great game. Congrats to Kennesaw, first ever bid. And Dorman, Big South Conference, we had another thrilling championship game.
Yeah, Campbell was up big. I believe the lead got up to 14 at one
It
point
was
in the
big.
second.
Yes,
Was it bigger?
it was 66-50 at one point.
Okay.
Like, okay,
Okay. Good.
Campbell had the 66.
And UNC Asheville came flying back. They started to turn up the pressure on defense. They finally started to hit some shots. Campbell's legs looked tired. You could see, or I felt Campbell looked a little tired. The three games in four, the fourth game in four in 5 days. They did get a break in between on Thursday, but I felt that was a factor. UNC Asheville didn't have to play that extra game. Campbell had their opportunities. They really did. They were up a couple with a minute and a half to play, but it wasn't meant to be. And UNC Asheville in the end came through, and they will be going on, moving on to the NCAA tournament.
Ended the game on a 25-7 run. So congrats to the Bulldogs. Like you said, moving on to the tournament. We had one other bid given out today, Stalica, in the Missouri Valley Conference. Not quite as close of a game as we expected.
Not quite as close of a game, but this is more of a testament to Drake, who had been white hot themselves outside of losing the regular season finale at Bradley, which gave the Braves the regular season title, and now it's going to give them the auto bid to the NIT. Drake, because of their blowout today, probably going to be looking at the 12 line.
Yeah, and this is a live wire team. They have been on an absolute rampage. And not to sound like a broken record, back in October, a lot of us figured that this would sort of be what the team that Florida Atlantic became. I had said that I expected them to crack the top 25 before the end of the season. They didn't play up to the level that they have been playing at since the start of February all year long, but they're at that level now. I think they're playing like a top 25 caliber team, even though it took them too long to get there. The 5 seed that they get matched up against better look out.
It was semifinal day in the Patriot League. The first game between Colgate and Army West Point was not much of a contest. The second game, Lafayette, much like they did in their first game against Lehigh, went up to a dominating lead, but this time American had even more fight, came all the way back from 21 points down. Stalica, they tied the game, forced overtime. Only have Lafayette tie it to force a double overtime.
Yeah, I mean, it was American that actually made the comeback from a 21 down, and they managed to take a 5-point lead in the first overtime. Lafayette looks like they're dead in the water, but suddenly the Leopards go on a 15-0 run. It included a 4-point play in the second overtime that this time American was not going to be able to get off the mat. And number 33 for Lafayette during the game had quite the outing. He gets his 1,000th career point, but also took a couple of hard fouls, one in the shin and one in the neck, that ended up being a flagrant one against one of the American players earlier in the second half.
Yeah, so Lafayette does go on against Colgate. Dorman, Army just had nothing against Colgate there.
No. Yeah, Colgate got out big early, and like you said, Chad, Colgate was never tested or pushed at all today. They breeze into the championship game at home Wednesday night.
And I think they breeze to the NCAA tournament.
I'm with you.
Okay, I believe as far as that number 33 reference is that Boyle, Leo Boyle?
Yes.
Yes, that you're referencing. Okay, just wanted to confirm that. Griggs, it was semifinal day in the SoCon as well, and we began with a hell of a game. Again, another huge comeback. This was going on, I believe, at the same exact time as the American comeback against Lafayette. Storming back came Western Carolina against Furman from 20 points down to also force overtime.
Yeah, it was ridiculous because both games got to a point to where, yeah, you were still kind of paying attention, but like you started to watch other games and other action because neither one of them were close. And then you're looking in and looking in, and you're like, holy crap, it's close. But yeah, it was an incredible comeback. And they needed overtime to get it. And this has just been a nuts tournament. Samford, the 2 and the 3 seeds don't get out of the quarterfinals. This was after they had just blown. I don't know if Samford, Greensboro, and Furman really lost to anybody but each other during the regular season. And then 2 of the 3 of them don't even make the semis. And Furman really had to sweat, but like they sweated more than Sean Miller today.
Chattanooga will be their opponent in the championship game. Jake Stevens, who was hurt for part of the year, is back and was just absolutely incredible in this team in this tournament for the Mocs. And Dorman, we have coming up now tomorrow night the rematch of the game of championship week from last year. If you remember, Chattanooga Furman overtime, Chattanooga won on a half court 3-pointer at the buzzer for complete heartbreak for Furman. Same two teams. Can Furman get the revenge and get the redemption tomorrow night?
I think so. I think they're going to be very focused. There's a core group of guys on this Furman team that remembers that play quite well. I'm sure the coaching staff's going to remind them for the next 20 hours, and Furman's going to be looking for revenge. But Chattanooga's playing way better than a 7 seed. If you're looking at the seeds and just think that Furman's going to breeze on home, I don't think it's coming. Chattanooga's got some really big, talented players up front that also can shoot the ball. So if Furman doesn't bring their A game, Chattanooga can knock them off.
Yeah, I agree with you. Slicka, it was semifinal day in the Sun Belt
Orange
today as
in the Sun
well.
Belt all season long.
This gigantic bracket is finally down to two teams, Stalika, and we began with another upset, of
Well, we
course.
had a feeling that South Alabama was going to have a bit of a home court advantage right here with their fans just down the road from Mobile. But the Jaguars, they had quietly won, I think, 7 out of their last 8, and I'm going to say 11 out of their last 13. They were kind of a deceptive 8 seed in the Sun Belt Conference right here. They just happened to be getting hot at the right time, and Louisiana better not take the Jags lightly.
Yeah, Texas State looked like for a while that they were just going to go limp out of this tournament. They made a big comeback to get close to this game, but Raging Cajuns did hold them off. So, Griggs, Louisiana, South Alabama tomorrow night. Who do you got?
I'm going Jags. I've been,
Really?
yeah, I've Louisiana's been good. They certainly had the better season, but I've been a little more impressed with South Alabama in the tournament. They've played better against better teams. I know that it's kind of a, but Stalika kind of summed it off. They were a deceptive 8 seed. They've won 11 of their last 13, and right here, right now on the court, I'm picking the upset.
All right, you're picking the upset. You with him, Dorman?
This is a tough game. No, I'm going to pick Louisiana, but I don't think he's nuts. I could easily see South Alabama, but I do like the way Louisiana has played most of this tournament, and and if they play as well as they can, they should be able to handle South Bama.
Let me stick with you, Dorman. It was quarterfinal day in the Colonial, and we kind of had at least three clunkers, maybe four clunkers even here.
Our very own John Tytel was there. He's seen eight games, and seven of them were terrible.
he actually missed the one good game.
He actually left before the late game on the first night, so he missed a good one. Yeah.
But now it gets good.
Yeah.
Now it gets good. Hofstra's going to play Wilmington. These are the four best teams in the conference. And this is a strong conference. This conference and these four are really good basketball teams that are all well coached. So the winner of this conference is going to have well earned their bid.
Yeah, these are going to be two great games. I do like Hofstra tomorrow. I think the Charleston Towson game should be an awesome one, though, Stalika. I would just note the Wilmington Drexel game today was a fairly close game, but Wilmington just had too much for Drexel at the end. But
let's not be mistaken. There was a distinct chasm between the top five teams right here. I'll go ahead and throw Drexel in here. A big chasm between the top five and the rest of the league right here. We saw what Drexel did to Monmouth on Saturday night as proof of that.
We sure did. Anyhow, we got the semifinals tomorrow night. There should be a fun night. And Griggs, it was also the last two quarterfinals today in the Summit League. As how about those Tommies, first of all, taking down Western Illinois with a nice second half comeback?
Yeah, kind of a very impressive story. In year two of a 5-year transition, year two and three is when it typically starts to go downhill, because the key players you had when you initially transitioned are gone, and you have no one to replace them with because no one wants to play for a team on probation. That's typically how it goes. But here are the Tommies finishing fifth, and the Summit League is there. There are leagues that are worse. There's some really good teams in here. So for them to compete as a transitional school as well as they have, and this year winning a conference tournament game and getting to the semis. Now, I think the ride is over. But that is not – what a way to go out.
Yeah, and how about on the bottom half, though, here, Dorman, just before we started the show tonight, North Dakota State, somewhat controversially, I think it was a bad no-call on a foul, gets the win over South Dakota 70-68 to move on to play South Dakota State tomorrow.
Yeah, the coach went absolutely ballistic, and I don't blame him. There was a lot of body on that. There was two guys. Either one of them could have gotten a call for a foul there. But it's a big showdown, and they're rivals. So we got South Dakota State with North Dakota State. This game is, again, another coin flip. I like North Dakota State, but I could see this going either way. Whoever's going to knock down their jumpers is going to move on. In the other game, a little angle that I think is like St. Thomas is not going to have any pressure. Like, this is it. Whether, you know, they get one more Tuesday or not, like, this is everything, you know, they're just going to go out there and play. Oral Roberts has got a lot of pressure. They know they have to win not only Monday, but they got to win Tuesday too. And that weighs on you heavily. You've been this great team all year long. You've run through the conference with excellence. They play great all year. But in one 40-minute period, if it goes bad, your season is done.
Let me just throw this out here. If it does go bad tomorrow for Oral Roberts, since St. Thomas is ineligible, Oral Roberts is not technically coming off the survival board. They are still alive for the auto bid, because if St. Thomas could then win the championship game, ORU would get the bid, not the winner of the bottom semifinal. So throw that out there. ORU still alive even with the loss, but obviously they want to win tomorrow and win Tuesday night. Let's jump over to the Big Sky Conference, which I kind of delayed getting to. It was one of the biggest upsets we've seen so far in Championship Week up top there first. It was two of the quarterfinals tonight as Northern Arizona shocked Eastern Washington, Griggs.
Yeah, they shocked me as well. Eastern Washington, who blew through the conference, winning. They finished 16-2, but they started off 16-0.
Well, this is now three losses in a row for Eastern
three
Washington.
Losses
they
in a row.
Fell apart. Yeah,
yeah. And Northern Arizona hitting a three at the buzzer. It was a deep three by a guy who I don't think has hit a three all year.
Oakland Ford had not hit a three for a month before he hit that
okay,
three
for
today.
A month. So, okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
He picked a good time to hit one. and it's one of the side effects of this is one of the downsides to the conference tournaments. As much as I love them, you hate to see a team from an under the radar conference that didn't do enough to get inside the bubble, but is clearly the most deserving and best team from the conference. And Eastern Washington clearly was, but it gets wiped out today and it doesn't matter. They are going to the NIT, but somebody else other than them, who wasn't nearly as good for the entire 4 months of the season, is going to get the NCAA tournament bid.
It's not on the screen there, but Montana State just finished off Northern Colorado 84-73 to advance. In fact, maybe we can even throw that up here. Look at that. 84-73. A little magic. There we go. We just advanced Montana State. I forgot that we could do that, actually. Montana State did get the win over Northern Colorado. It was not even that close. Northern Colorado was down about 30 points at points of this game here. But Sleeka, what about these other two quarterfinals coming up tomorrow night? Montana, Idaho State, Weber State, Sac State.
I think Weber State, even though they might be a little bit upset prone, probably going to roll along against Weber State right here. And then Idaho State figures to have a little bit of a home court advantage with Pocatello not too far down the road right here. So probably take them in a mild upset over Montana.
Okay. I think it could be a good game, that especially the Montana-Idaho State game. I don't know if it's certain, but, you know, Sacramento State's had a little life this season as well, so who knows in both those games. One of the conferences that was underway today, Dorman, was the Southland Conference, and it began with what actually was a pretty darn good game between McNeese State, the host school, and Texas A&M Commerce.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm going to pass it to Griggs or Stalika. I got my stream went off. I couldn't see the last 3 minutes. So, Stalika, Griggs, help me.
You missed a great one then, because there was a foul. There's a foul with 1.3 seconds left at a free throw to win the game. But Stalika.
And this was a case where McNeese ended up hitting, I think, one of the two free throws because the game was tied at that point. I think there was also an intentional miss just to see if Commerce could hit a cross-court shot. Ended up not happening, and McNeese State will, at least for one night, gets to benefit with the home crowd in Lake Charles.
Well, not much of a crowd tonight, but it was O'Day for McNeese State who hit the one free throw. I'm not sure if he intentionally missed a second or not, but it worked to their benefit by missing it, because all Commerce could do was throw it down the court. The late game, Griggs, New Orleans completely crushed Houston Christian in the second half. But what about tomorrow's games? Nichols, McNeese, Southeastern Louisiana, New Orleans.
I'm taking
a battle. You got a battle. All four teams are Louisiana schools, correct?
Yeah, they are. Okay. So I'm going Nichols and Sela.
Taking the chalk, Nichols and Sela.
Yeah, taking the chalk.
I think there's a big gap between the top four teams of the conference and the rest of the conference. So I kind of agree with you there.
Yeah.
That was it for the games today, but we did record the podcast a little bit early last night before the late West Coast Conference game went final. And I think I want to take a step back and talk about it, because we missed kind of a hell of a game here. San Francisco, Santa Clara, overtime. Khalil Shabazz, 38 points for the Dons to pull off the mild upset win over Santa Clara.
Double overtime
win. So congrats there, Sleeka. How about the Dons now go up against the Zags here Monday night?
Well, it wasn't just the Dons, but also BYU that managed to take out a couple teams that had double buys right here. That's probably going to be, at least they get one night in the sun to enjoy, because I don't see either of these teams knocking out St. Mary's or Gonzaga tomorrow night.
No. Dorman, you want to pick an upset? No.
I do. Oh. I think everyone's got this penciled in. Everyone's waiting to see St. Mary's Gonzaga Tuesday night. I think BYU, although didn't have a great season, they have the personnel to stay with and beat St. Mary's. They played them twice during the year, real close, but both losses. I'm picking the upset. I like BYU. I like the Cougars to move on and see the Zags on championship Tuesday here.
Get one last game in their West Coast Conference history here.
Yep.
Griggs, I could see it, actually. I could see it happening.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay. Well, Griggs, let me stick with you then. One other.
Actually, yeah, I could see BYU beating St. Mary's. I'll go with that one.
Okay. As a bracketologist, the one thing we do not want to see is BYU win an auto bid, because then we run into the BYU bracketing rules where they can't play on Sundays, and we all know that's a nightmare.
Well, an auto bid is okay. It's when BYU's on the bubble and then the first four that causes the real nightmares.
Khalil
Griggs. Shabazz for San Francisco has been absolutely phenomenal. He was unreal last night late, but he's been fantastic. He plays the game the right way. He's always positive. He's always helping his teammates out, lifting them up when they're down. He doesn't play just on offense. He plays on defense, and I give this kid a lot of credit. He could have probably left. He's undersized, but he has a huge heart, and he's a winner in my book.
Griggs, what other conference back in action tomorrow night? It is semifinal day in the Horizon
Oh,
League. I think
penguins, the penguins are
penguins,
back.
penguins,
Penguin Fever
penguins,
time,
fever.
9, 7 p.m. Eastern. Yes.
Yes. The Penguins have to win. If they don't, then I think we're just gonna shut Hoops HD down. It just won't be worth it. God, I hope the Penguins win. It's just been fun watching them. I hope that they can make it to Indianapolis. I really wish the Horizon League.
They're going to be in Indianapolis tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, the Ping. I hope their fans can meet. Like,
Oh,
we
okay.
need
If they
lots of
don't make it to
Penguin
Indianapolis,
supporters.
if they don't make it to Indianapolis for tomorrow night's game, they're not going to win it. That's for certain.
Right. Yeah. Good observation.
NKU though is, has been one of the powerhouses in this conference in recent years. So I would not be shocked by that upset.
I wouldn't either, especially with how much Youngstown struggled just to get by Detroit Mercy. Not that NKU rolled over Oakland, but NKU's been playing well enough to where it wouldn't shock me if they did win.
Yeah, Milwaukee, Cleveland State. Sleek, I think we're going to see one of two things. We see a really close game that comes out to the wire, or a Cleveland State blowout.
Well, I don't. Cleveland State does not strike me as a type of team that's going to blow you out. Could be a bit of a low-scoring game in the nightcap right here. Still, I think NKU is going to find a cure for Penguin Fever and end up actually winning the whole thing.
Oh
Oh no. Boo, boo.
I have to
throw
stand up
off.
for my
Oh,
local team
throw
right
off.
here.
Stalika, have you ever seen a sad penguin?
Every day. Every day I'm sad now.
Okay. That's it for the games. How about going over to our survival board here? This is a tool we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. We track how many teams are left alive that they could be considering for both at-large bids and who's alive for automatic bids. And heading into today, there were 243 teams alive for these bids, following all of today's games, including the late Big Sky game that just went final. Let's see what happened.
Wow.
225. Not
Yeah,
that big of a
damn.
jump, but we're getting close to the 200 mark there, Griggs.
Right, yeah. And I mean, it's whittling away. Tomorrow, not the busiest of days either, but it's kind of crazy how quickly it goes. We started off with what, 350?
Yep,
So, or 350.
353 or 353 before at the very beginning of the season, then it's whittled down slowly and sh but surely. But Griggs, when we look at this board here, we also categorize teams differently, and we do that for the committee, correct?
We do this for the committee. What they do is that they get into the room, they log on to the internet. The internet is in the room, that has been confirmed. So that means this board is available in the room, and they come and they look at this board, and that tells them what they need to be doing.
So if a committee member says, "I wonder if we should give an at-large bid to Northwestern," what would this board tell them?
That they probably, yeah, that you should. That Northwestern's
There.
in blue, and they're like, oh, blue means we have to take them. So they would take Northwestern.
Well, what if they said, "What about UNC Asheville?" But maybe they don't really belong in.
Well, anybody that says that needs to be removed from the room and out of athletics for the rest of their life, because UNC Asheville is not only in blue, they're in blue and bold. They won the automatic bid.
So they have to take
Yeah,
it.
they have to take them. Well, because they're in blue and they're bold. That's why they have to take them.
And they're in all caps.
Yeah, blue in all caps, yeah.
Salika, what if one of the committee members said, I think we should take Presbyterian?
Oh,
Well, we
good.
have, again, we have similar precedent when they took Tulsa a few years
Yeah,
back,
we're
but
not talking about that. But
this is why we put them in red and in a strike through font here so they know, do not take them.
I do
But
want to say, Chad,
yeah.
every committee member that was on the committee that took Tulsa, no longer there. That is what happens when you do not follow this board.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Last question, though, Griggs. If a committee member is wondering about Rutgers, my Scarlet Knights, what does this board tell them? Are they in? Are they out?
Well, that's up for them to decide. Like,
Okay.
we
Oh boy.
can't make all the decisions for them.
So the green teams are where the real work comes in.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Like, we tell them who the green teams are, but then from there, they have to look at them and decide whether or not to take them.
And we're going to make some adjustments to this board as we go through championship week. A few of the green teams, we may even tell them our locks by the time we get there. And a few
Right,
others,
yeah.
we may tell them not to even consider. But
Yeah.
you'll see the updates as you follow along on our survival board up there. Is that it for the day, Griggs?
No. We got. Okay, I got cheated yesterday. I just want that completely understood in this blind resume challenge.
Okay. There has been controversy. I'm going to admit to it. I was part of the fault here. But last night, what's been going on is Griggs is locked in the puppet bunker. He is
Yes.
fully locked in there. There's the door. It's completely locked.
And this
And
is
we're
not
giving him
the
a chance.
same as Joe Lunardi's bracket bunker. He's not in an actual bunker.
We're giving Griggs a chance to get out every night. All he has to do is guess two blind resumes. Tell me who the two teams are, left and right, and he gets out. He came
Yeah.
very close. Last night he said Nevada and Memphis State, and the teams were Nevada and Memphis, and so he was denied. Now, Memphis then came out today wearing Memphis State uniforms in the game against Georgia. So
Yeah.
I admit there's controversy. So, Griggs, I'm going to give you not only the two teams here, which I don't think would be that difficult to begin with, but I'm also going to give you a clue here that should make this one of the easiest ones ever.
Oh, okay.
These two teams are longtime rivals whose
Oh.
rivalry is known as the Border War.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah.
It's Kansas and Missouri. Wait, it's Kansas and Missouri. Well, wait a minute. They don't call it the Border War anymore. And they're you
You
are
going
they
with Kansas
longtime
and Missouri,
conference
or
rivals?
you?
Are they longtime conference rivals?
You've heard the clue, Griggs. Are you going with Kansas and Missouri, or do you, last chance?
You're trying to trick. No, it's Colorado State, Wyoming. That is the Border War.
All right, he went Colorado State, Wyoming.
That's
Let's
what
find
it is.
out.
Kansas, I got it right. I got
Kansas
it right.
and
I got it
Missouri,
right.
you
I
had
got
it,
it right.
Griggs, and you blew it.
I know I got it right. I got it right. I got it right. I had it right. That was the first answer I gave. I had it right.
See, I thought he was going
Incorrect.
to
I
go
need to get out of
Kansas and
here.
Kansas State right here.
Oh, Griggs, you were so close.
No.
You
But I
had
had it
it.
right. I wasn't just close, I was correct.
Let's go to final thoughts, Talika.
Well, with the Hoops HD selection committee set to begin meeting on a Thursday night, the regular season games have wrapped up, so we're about to go into our first phase of selection where we're going to be submitting two lists to our selection chair, Chad Sherwood. So the first list is going to be what we call our first ballot, where we can select up to 36 teams. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to select 36 teams, but obviously these are not going to include teams like Drake or UNC Asheville that are already on there. Those are going to be our what we think will be our top 36 at-large teams right here. The second list is going to be teams that are not on that first ballot that but what we feel worthy is going to be teams under consideration. So in the real committee, should any team get at least three votes, they would be added to the under consideration board along with the regular season champions like Oral Roberts and Morehead State, for example, that for, at least for a few minutes they will be on the board, and I will let Chad give further details on that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, as we get into our mock selection committee, we will start updating each night. We'll begin Thursday night show this week when we get some updates, but our votes will begin voting on Tuesday. Dorman.
Yeah, the Big Ten was the last one of the power conferences to finish their season just a few hours ago. And so the bracket now is official, and there are some enormous games. Thursday in Chicago, the first game is Michigan Rutgers. I think if Michigan's a loser, it's good night. If Rutgers is the loser, it's a long, long weekend. The next game, Iowa gets Wisconsin. If Wisconsin can beat Ohio State, I think Wisconsin has to have at least these two and maybe even beat Michigan State on Friday to stay alive. There are a lot of nervous teams coming to Chicago for the Big Ten. A lot of teams have work to do and a lot of seeding on the line. Purdue's iffy on the one line. I mean, I don't think they get a one seed without winning the championship here. So even the teams that are in, as we say on our board, have work to do for their seeding.
Also, keep an eye on a team like Penn State in that situation because they've already beaten Illinois twice, and they're probably going to need that third win just to really be considered.
Absolutely.
Greg, do you want to finish us off?
Yeah, I want to draw attention back to the Atlantic Sun Championship game today and how great of a game it was, how great of an atmosphere it was. Really, what an exciting tournament the A-Sun was all throughout, and how exciting conference play was because of how it led into the tournament and into the home court advantages. I think when you look at this and when you look at what we're going to see in the Patriot League later this week and what we're going to see in some other conferences that use this format, maybe not the Northeast Conference this year, but that's typically one.
America East.
Yeah, the America East. Thank you. That was the other one that I was thinking of. And when you compare that to what the Horizon League will likely be and what the Ohio Valley was and what the Big Sky was as compared to what it used to be and what the Big South now is compared to what it used to be, that this is the better format for the majority of under the radar conferences. I think there's some exceptions, maybe the Missouri Valley, simply because it is a normal thing, maybe even more than half the time, that the first place team doesn't need protecting. And that is such a great atmosphere in St. Louis that you don't want to give that up. Maybe the Mid-American Conference as well. But even with the Mid-American, it's not that unusual for a team to be within reach of the bubble or have opportunities to reach it. But I remember when the Horizon League used to do this format and how great some of those finals were.
Greg, by this format, you mean playing the games on campus sites, by the
Yes,
way.
yeah,
Okay,
the
thank you.
format
Just
of what the
writing what
Atlantic Sun
that
is.
was confused because you didn't actually throw that in there, but go
Yeah,
ahead.
when they're playing at campus sites, I don't understand how anybody that's been at the Horizon League when they used to do it that way, as opposed to how they do it now, could say, yes, this is better. We get better games, better crowds, better. It's not even close. The game today was one of the better games in experiences that we've seen all season long.
Yes, it was, and I do love campus sites. I agree with you for the smaller conferences,
Yeah, for the smaller kind,
not for the
yeah.
major conferences, and not for a few conferences like the ones you mentioned. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night. We got two podcasts tomorrow night. We're gonna be doing a bracket rundown and a video notebook.
Yeah.
But on behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, and John Slica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.